Okay, we're continuing to talk about Hashnacha. I'm not going to be there, but I won't be there this time either. We're talking about Hashnacha. Last time we spoke about that the din of Hashnacha, which is until when you squeeze grapes and liquid comes out of them, it's not considered wine until you separate the liquid from the solids. Okay, that's called Hashnacha. When it starts to flow away, then when it starts to separate from each other,
no,
that's Hashnacha.
You have to do it nicely, right?
I don't know if you have to do it nicely.
Sir, Pinach Hatan Azogin. Mm-hmm. If you wasn't Peter, just like if it's in a mud, it's gonna happen by itself also, right? You have a bunch of grape and juice.
Yes.
Put it in a mud, it's gonna happen.
Put it in a mud.
That's it, isn't it?
Madrin,
right?
Madrin, it's on a slant.
Right.
So when you put it into the pour, no, it right away that already is that.
Yeah, but why is it Peter Hassan Razog?
So anyhow, so that was last time we talked about that. It has to be the liquid has to separate from the solids. Okay, so two examples of that. We're really going to talk not about that today, but for example, these are examples that come up, which is if you make smoothies, okay, which is you grind up all kinds of fruits and vegetables to make a little liquid out of it, and you put grapes into it. So when you're gonna, if you put grapes into a smoothie, there's going to be juices can come out of them. Okay, but it's okay. There's no problem with the guy touching that because there's no hamshacha. The grape and the solid and the liquid never separate from each other. It's just one big mush, and therefore that's okay if the guy will touch that thing.
They eat the seeds. They don't filter out.
They see those grapes. You make a thing a smoothie. You just grind up all kinds of fruits and vegetables. So it's okay. You're allowed to do that. Same as if you make jam. We mentioned this last. I make jam, which is also made from crushed up grapes. So again, there's liquid in the mix. There was liquid when they made it, but that's not considered wine. There's no problem if a guy touches it. Assuming, of course, we avoid hamshacha along the way. But when you make the jam itself, that's not a problem. Okay, now, we saw last time, it's coming to dinim later on, that there are two chumras on the Rishonim that sometimes, even without a hamshacha, it's considered wine. And those were the chumras that one mentioned last time was, the guy's not allowed to crush grapes with you, because a chashi might touch it. He might touch it after the hamshacha. And the other, which we didn't see, it's a thing coming also later, is that you can't buy barrels that already have crushed grapes in them. I mean, the guy crushed them himself, again, because of a chashash that he would touch it. Okay, so those are two chumras on the Rishonim, that you're not, even though it was no hamshacha, you're not allowed to buy, you have to consider it as if it's one of you. Today we're going to talk about a chumra from the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says that this thing that I'm about to tell you is also only chatchila. Okay, because the Gemara says, Leich Leich Amin Lazira, you should stay away from wine, just like for a Nazir, we also stay away from it. And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, if you like my pictures, we have a gas and a barrel, okay? And the Gemara says, is the guy, you're not allowed to pour. See, forget about what he has to say, the Kreich has, forget about that, you know, like some pictures on the video. Anyway, so the Gemara says, you're not allowed to pour the barrel full of grapes into the gas, okay? A guy is not allowed to pour from the barrel into the gas. Okay, and the machlokes is showing them what's the reason. Now, the Gemara says only chatila. The Gemara says b'dieved it's mutter. Now, b'dieved mutter means this: there was obviously no hamshacha. And what the guy did, when the guy poured, it had not yet been a hamshacha. There would have been a hamshacha already by that point. It would be also even b'dieved. The Gemara says only asal chatila. So why is it? It's a machlokes is. Okay. So the Ramban says what's called the Ramban. There are many Rishonim on each side, but what they call the Ramban says it's talking about that there was already wine in the gas. Okay, the gas is a place where wine gets separated. There already was wine in the gas, and therefore when you poured it in, since there's wine in the gas, and therefore when he pours it in, there's a chashash he might touch the wine that's already in the gas that already had hamshach. Okay, and the Ravid says, no, it doesn't talk about that there's wine. The guy makes no difference whether there is or is not. The problem is there's liquid in the barrel. Okay, there's liquid in the barrel, so what? Liquid in the barrel is nothing. There's not a hamshach yet. Anyhow.
Okay, what's the problem with the juice in the
barrel? So that means there's wine that had hamshach already. So there's a chash. If you let him pour it in, he might touch that wine also. He might touch that wine. And the Ravid says that there's liquid in the barrel. So liquid in the barrel, again, it didn't have hamshacha yet, but if you let him pour this, maybe tomorrow he'll pour regular wine. Okay, so both of those are chashas lechatchila. Don't let him do it because of the problem, but that's also lechatchila.
What's really in the barrel? A barrel of grapes.
It's a barrel of grapes that has some liquid mixed into it. Okay, so, what?
It
has grape juice mixed into it.
Why is it in the barrel
So you can squeeze it out.
Not barrel of wine, barrel of grapes.
Barrel of grapes.
Oh.
Because you're going to press it. You're about to press it. So you, he's the schlepper. He's gonna pour it in.
Okay, so it's called the charcoal. So this called
I'm going to get two trucks in. That's going to come in. The barrel has some juice already squeezed out of the grapes. Ready?
Yeah.
But he pours it in. The chashash, if he pours this in, if you let him pour barrels with grapes and juice, tomorrow he might pour just plain barrels of juice.
Why isn't the hamshacha
happening itself? The hamshacha happens after he let go of it. He poured it in, and then hamshacha will happen. But when he poured it in...
It happens right now.
Why does it happen right now? He pours in the grapes and the juice together. He pours the whole thing together. That's not that right now. It's not wine. Now it's just crushed grapes.
Okay, it's very open. The lube comes up first, right?
So what does that say to you? So because it's all coming out together. We'll see more about that soon. It's all coming out together.
Lube will come out first. It's not going to be ulcer, though, because I'm shuffled.
No, it's not I'm shuffled.
In the barrel of juice, it's what?
No, he's pouring a barrel of grapes with juice.
What's the chashash? Tomorrow he's going to take a barrel of what?
Of juice. And if you let him pour this, tomorrow he'll pour something else. Not into the guys. You don't pour juice into the guys.
It's just him touching the barrel. There's already, right? It's just juice.
What did
it? Is there already chashash? There's just juice there? Wasn't there already chashash? There's just juice
in what he's pouring in now?
No.
Tomorrow. Right, that's the problem. So don't let him do it. Right, so don't let him do today, because tomorrow he might do it. Okay, now. So Machat Shoshan. And the Taz says, each one of them has a churman kula. Each one has a churman kula, which is, what happens if there's no wine in the gas? Okay, what he's pouring it into has no, it's the beginning of the day, there's nothing in the gas. There's no hamshach yet in the gas. Ramban says, what's it? So the Ramban would hold you allowed to do it. There's no chash to touch anything, so the Ramban would hold you allowed to do it. And what would happen in the other case, in the Ravid's case, what happens if there was no juice in the barrel? The way the Taz calls that, there's a hole in the bottom of the barrel, and all the juice drains out of it, okay? It has holes in it, so there's no juice in it. So then there's no problem, because he's only pouring grapes, he's not pouring any juice in it. Okay, so each one of them has a chum and a kula, he'd be machaber in one case and make in the other case. Okay, that's a machaber kashashanim. The machaber, seemingly, is machaber kaboshitas, okay, it's in Simon Kuf Cafe. The machaber is like this. A guy who brings grapes in these different kinds of barrels, and he pours it into the gas that has already wine had already been pressed over there. What to be the evidence? You know, you're not doing the chatila like the Gemara said, but the evidence. Even though in the barrel, the other part you'll see later, I know you could see it, but you're not supposed to. Even though there's wine in the barrels, so what you see over here is the beginning part where he says the gas yesh b'dayim dorach. He's telling you what the Ramban said, that there's wine already in the press, and later when he says that the yain shazam may not have in the barrel there is, that's the right of it. Okay, he's telling you both these sheets of the Rishonim that you're not supposed to do this, but the idea that it's okay, which is the Gemara appointed both sheets of the Rishonim.
Yeah, if there's no yain,
if there's no wine in either place,
no, in the gas.
Okay, that's right.
No, so.
You can't be
a cooler from both ways.
If there's no gas here by now, it's more half a piece of the evidence. Even though
right.
No
it's more to be the evidence.
Yeah, but no,
so that's not, I don't think that's a simple way to read how he reads it. He tells you both cases.
Yeah, that's the case. Right.
And he said that's more to be the evidence. That's much better.
Right.
Okay.
He puts the
evidence
in the middle. If you want to count the
both sheep, but when you said okay, you can read that. I don't believe the Taz reads like that. Okay. So I'll tell you this. The Taz says we machmir with both sheep to Rishonim. Roshach Tefillah again. Also, we'll come to that soon. And the Chazan says no. The Chazan says you only have to be choshes for the sheep of the Ramban. Okay. All you have to worry about. He doesn't say the Machaber says that. He didn't say the Shulchan Aruch says that. He just says, you'll have the Chosh of the Ramban. What? Okay, so I'm not sure. He doesn't talk about that. Okay, to me, he read that was to talk about both cases, okay? So, okay, it's like this. So the most obvious case that this has to do with us is when you're in a wine factory, at a certain point, the grapes are in the machinery, okay, they're in the machinery, and they have to be poured into the press where they're actually going to squeeze the grapes and do the hamshacha, so the guy can't run that machinery. Because there, once it's already in the factory, there's already juice mixed in, that's arriving, and it's going to the gas where the hamshacha is going to be, that's the Ramban. So between them, you're not allowed to do that, the guy wouldn't be allowed to operate the machinery.
Before the crushing?
Before the hamshacha, right, before the hamshacha.
What? What
do
you mean before the crushing?
the grapes are all, they're all sitting in a tank. Okay, grapes, and this liquid leaks out of them. You'll see it soon in a second, but grapes, just a zillion pounds of grapes, pour them on top of each other, liquid drips out of there.
What is it to do?
So, according to the writer, he can't do it because now he's pouring.
What?
Turn on the machine to move the grapes from here into the press. So he's moving it. So he's doing the rivet, this liquid in the juicer, in the grapes ready. According to Ramban, it's going into the place where the amchach has happened already. So he wouldn't do that stuff.
Stuff in this wine, in that thing where
this liquid is
pressed.
Yes. When it comes in, the grapes come in mixed.
First one of the day.
Yeah, it's first thing in the morning. But basically, it comes in because this. So you do the press,
it's
going
to... Yeah, I'm sure this applies in the factory.
It's not his factory. Okay. No, doesn't mean his factory.
No, he's bringing it from his own backyard. I mean, if he's too much of a question, tomorrow he's going to bring it back all the morning.
That's news. We'll see if anybody thinks like that. Okay. So just... But now let's talk. You get out your popcorn. We're going to have movies in a minute, okay?
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk is, for other Shilas... What is it?
Better than the graphic.
Yeah. Okay. I have a graphic that's also by side to not put on. You get a video instead. Okay. And that is, like this. When you make wine, so in a small little operation, somebody walks around picking off grapes off the vine, picks them into containers, and the containers eventually make their way to the factory where they get dumped into everything else. Okay. But most people do it in a more in a larger scale. Okay. I'm going to show you two things. Okay. First, I'm going to show you. First is how they harvest the grapes. Okay, I'm showing this to you. We're going to talk about a bunch of shaylos of what the guy is or is not allowed to do in these things. Okay, so this is what you're watching here. It's going to take a while. You can listen to me for a second. You watch it also. That machine. I don't know if I can't stop it. That machine. Rabbi Galler. That's Rabbi Galler. Okay, that's Rabbi Galler walking there. And that machine. Okay, the machine that you're watching. I'll do it again for you. It sits like a ches over the vine. Okay, with one leg on each side of the vine, in the space between the vines, and what's going to happen is this, you will not see, is that between in the middle of the ches, there's a ches going like this, and in the middle there are like brushes with like sticks sticking out, and they bang against the vine, and it shakes off all the grapes. Okay, so the way they get them off the vine is basically there are these like little arms that are going like this against the vine, and as they bump against the vine, all the grapes come falling off. The grapes fall to the bottom, and on the bottom there's something that catches them. Okay, this is all under the chetz, something that catches them, and then you'll see afterward what happens to them once it catches them, okay? But, what happened? Okay, we'll have to go back even further to make it really work. Okay, so that's Rabbi Galler. See the machine hanging over the vines? Okay, it's sitting over the vine. And what's going to happen is this harvester is going to drive down the vines, up and down the rows, knocking grapes off you.
Did they do this for you personally? Like,
no. Rabbi Galler made a video of all kinds of things about his making wine. This is a piece pulled out of it. Those are all grapevines, okay, and it's good. You see the rows and rows. It's going to go through all those rows. We are not going to watch them go through all the rows. You see what's going on? As it's driving, the brushes on the inside, which you can't see, underneath this thing, are banging up against the vines.
Is he driving
it? I don't know. I doubt it.
You put it on YouTube, no?
Yes. Just give us a second. Okay, you'll see that now what's going to happen here is the grapes that are being collected on the bottom get sent up this little belt up there, up to the top of the harvester, across the side. And into, okay, now you see there's a little truck here that fits what I call a narrow truck. It fits between the rows of the vines. Okay, and his friend is already up ahead, and the grapes coming from this harvester are being shot to the next row over into this little truck, this narrow truck that's catching all the grapes. And now what's going to happen is the truck is going to get full. Okay, so that truck goes off on his harvester, stops for a second, and in comes the friend, the guy who's driving behind him. And off they go to continue harvesting, okay? And they keep going down the road, okay? And they got to do this now through this whole field is going, this is how they're doing the harvesting, okay? Now, what happens is, after that little truck, the narrow truck that finished over here, where did he go? He went out of the field to a huge truck, okay, to a much bigger truck, and he dumps it in. And let's say after he has 10 loads from these narrow trucks, we then get to the big truck is filled, and he goes to the factory.
He's just specifically harvesting grapes for wine, not for eating grapes, right?
I have no idea if they use the same thing for eating grapes. I have no idea. Okay, this is for they come on the wine. Maybe I don't. This is for how you make wine. Okay, now. Okay, now in this, what you're about to see here is the big truck. Okay, it got filled up with a bunch of those little ones. Okay, and he's coming now to the factory. Okay, and he's dumping his grapes into the machinery.
This is the wine factory.
It's not wine. It's the where they press the grapes.
For
making grape juice or wine or jam or whatever they're going to make out of it. Right, I mean, the people over here are not actually making wine. Right, so you see this, because think about it, look at how many grapes are coming out of that thing, you know?
Yeah,
so they squish each other, right, so there's a certain amount of liquid that gets poured into the thing. Okay, so what's going on is he's dumping this whole lot, now we're going to see another version of it, okay? He's telling you that it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, he's telling you what kind of grapes they're pouring in over here. Okay, so we're going to see more of the same. Okay.
And this right here is not considered amshacha, even though there's liquid stuff.
Right, so we spoke about last time, when you just, it happens to pour in, we took that with the slope. Water, it's not a problem, we don't care about water, he's just cleaning out the truck, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, but it makes, when you're making a cheshire, how much water and wine and the grapa, you already have
to... Oh, not today's cheshire, not today's problem. Okay, that's not my problem. Okay, anyhow, so...
that's all the...
No, it's grape and liquid, it's all together. Okay, so what the question that we have here is like this. We have three questions here. Can the guy drive the harvester? Can he drive the little truck? And can he drive the big truck? Okay, the point is not the driving per se. The person driving the little harvester is pouring grapes into the narrow truck. The person from the narrow truck is pouring grapes, he pours grapes into the big truck. And the person from the big truck is pouring grapes into the factory. So the question is this din that the Gemara says, al-lechatchilo, the guy can't pour the grapes into the gas, does that apply to any of these three cases? Would that be usher as what the Gemara just said, you shouldn't let the guy pour the stuff, the before Amshacha, but he's not allowed to pour it into the gas, that's what the Gemara said, okay? So that's our question is, do any of these three steps maybe over on that Esr, okay? So the first thing before we go on, according to the Ramban, everything's okay. According to Ramban, everything is okay, because the Ramban said the only issue is if you pour it into a place where there was a Hamshacha. Right? You have to pour only if it's the wine in the place we poured into. The closest you could get to Hamshacha is in the last step, and the last step is not a gas, it's not the press. What's going on here is that it goes into this big tank, and it goes to what's called a destemmer. A destemmer is where they pull off the stems, the sticks, like the pieces, the branches out of it. So there's no Hamshacha here yet. Hamshacha is going to happen later on. So, according to the Ramban, everything is perfectly fine. According to the Ramban, you're safe because the only issue would be if he pours into a place where there already was Hamshacha, with this wine sitting there that already had Hamshacha. That doesn't happen in any of these three things. According to the Ramban, we're safe. Okay, our shaila is, what about according to the Ravid? According to the Ravid, that you're not allowed to pour grapes mixed with wine in, is there an issue? Okay, so the first thing we could solve is, the harvester seems to be okay. Okay, if you remember back in the harvester, there's no liquid there. Okay, there isn't any juice in those things. It's just grapes. So the harvester was safe that he could drive it. But when you dump from the narrow truck into the big truck, which I didn't put on fuel, from the big truck into the factory, there's already juice mixed in with the grapes. So the shaila is that considered, that according to the rival, would that be also to do a
chavir? You don't ask him to the God, not to another thing.
So I'm going to talk about that. Okay, so the first thing is, I'll tell you this. They asked this question to Rabbi Yasha, and Rabbi Yasha said, yes, a Yid has to do this dumping. Okay? Mashiach has to be there, he has to do this dumping, because since there's already liquid in there, the Ravid says that there's the Isra of the Gemara L'Chathila is when there's liquid mixed in with the grapes, so therefore Rabbi Yasha said the Yid has to push the button to make this dumping happen. So first of all, he's saying that he doesn't even bring the Chazanish. Well, in the record, what I'm saying to you, what I just said to you that Rabbi Yasha said, is Rabbi Frati reporting what Rabbi Yasha said. Okay? He's reporting what he said. So he doesn't mention that at all about the Chazanish.
And which stage again is that?
So it would be, he doesn't say, L'charbi, it's the two stages, from the small truck into the big truck, from the narrow truck into the big truck, because there's ready juice mixed into it, and from here into in the factory.
Well, I think
what do you think? Okay. Now, I have to just tell you, I'm not. There's lots of paper where Fadi says, I'm going to put that on the side. But one thing is, he tells you, he says, you know, a lot of people get confused about what I just told you, because in Kevitz Tshuvas, Yashin's Tshuvas, it says it's mutter. He says, I'm telling you that he says usher, and you're very confused probably because you know you think that it says here that it's usher. It doesn't really. That's mutter. It's not true. It doesn't say that it's mutter. Okay. So he says. He says really. So he says. No, I don't think so. So the Chazal is talking about the shayla. He's talking about the din. We pass like Draman. He says pass like Draman. He doesn't talk about dumping grapes. He's talking about what the in sort of in theory. Yeah? So the Rabbi Fati says, or Rabbi Yashiv said that it's mutter is printed in the third chelik of Kovitz Tshuvas. Okay, Kovitz Tshuvas, like its name, it's a collection of things that he wrote. And he says the third chelik are things that Rabbi Yashiv wrote. So the third chelik is things that Rabbi Yashiv wrote by himself, but not as a tshuva to someone. He didn't write it as someone like, you asked me this and this question. He says in other places, other volumes, he says, you asked me this and this question, here's the answer. In the third chelik, he says it's mainly things that he just wrote notes to himself on the side, so he doesn't explain the shayla. He says, but I'll tell you what the shayla was. Okay, he says the shayla Rabbi Yashiv was dealing with there was, could he drive the harvester? And there Rabbi Yashiv said that it's okay. But to dump the truck, we instantly told him not to do it. Okay? So you believe it or not, I mean, now, there is reason to think like that. Rabbi Yashiv, when he says why it's mutter, in the printed tshuva, it says it's mutter because it's koyach koychai, which is a din in kuf chav hei, that certain case of koyach koychai mutter, a mutter b'dieved, he says if it's koyach koychai and it's just alech hatil of the Gemara, you're allowed to do it. So seemingly, koyach koychai fits the most with the harvester. Think about it, the guy's driving the harvester, and driving the harvester knocks off the grapes, which sends them up the ramp, which sends them across to the other truck, so that's the closest you can see to being a koyach koychai. And there's no liquid, right? So it's hard, means there's no shayla even there. So that's a good question. But that Rabbi Gersten said, no, he thinks maybe it's koyach over here also. Okay, that's debatable. But I'm telling you, Rafati says, or Yashiv said it's also, Hagam that in the printed Jew, it says it's mutter. Okay, so.
Where is Rabbi Fati's thing reported?
He wrote it down, and it's printed in a Babav journal from Tav Shin Ayin. It's like this. So there's two reasons were suggested why you don't have to be machmir. It used to be, in the olden days, you know, when we were, you know, a long time ago, it used to be that the American Hashkachos were machmir on this, and the Mashgiach would push the button to dump these kind of things out. Okay? Nowadays, then, most of the American Hashkachos are not machmir on it.
And driving the truck is okay.
Driving the truck is okay.
You said you could
machmir on
the driving truck.
I said? No. Rafati said they have to dump. They do the dumping.
Just dumping.
But, so two reasons were given why it should be okay. Okay? The first is Roshechta. Roshechta said, the only issue is if the guy is doing this by himself. But because we have a Mashiach over there, therefore there's no issue. Okay? There's no issue if there's Mashiach sitting there. Okay? So when you first hear that, it's like what is he talking about? So who cares if the Mashiach sitting there? Why are Mashiach sitting there make a difference to this? Okay? So I thought to explain it the following. If you remember, I'm going to tell you something. We're talking in the sheet of the Ravid. I'm going to tell you now in the sheet of the Ramban. You remember I told you, Shulchan Aruch says, this is the Shulchan Aruch we brought before him, that says that the Gemara's Isra L'chatchila, you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to pour the grapes L'chatchila. And you remember, I said to you, you agree or not agree, that the Ramban and the Ravid, he's saying both sheetas up here. Well, then let's look at the last word, the blocked out words of the Shulchan Aruch, okay? It says like this. V'im Yisrael Messiah Elav Kecham Bishri Kassu Megas, if the Yid helps him pouring it in, Mutter Afilu L'chatchila. Then it's mutter. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do it, but the Shulchan Aruch says, but if the Yid helps pour it in, then it's okay. So the Kvigger and the Gra say, wait a second, that would all be fine. That would all be fine according to the sheet of the Ravid. Within the sheet of the Ravid, it makes sense to say that the issue is he's pouring. If the yid helps him with the pouring, then again it comes to these rules of kaya kaya or misayaya, and then there's more reason to be makel. He said, but if the chashash is that the guy's gonna touch the wine that's in the gas, like going to Ramban, why would we care if the yid helps him? How does the yid helping him make a difference?
So stop him from touching anything in the
grass. So they, if the chashash is that he's gonna touch the stuff, so the yid, no, what is he pouring have to do with him touching the stuff in the press? So this is, wait a second, hold one second. So Rikvega says he doesn't understand why the Mechaber would say even the sheet of the Ramban. Okay? He says, I don't understand why he would say it. The Gros says, of course it's not true according to Ramban. according to Raman. It's only true according to the Ravid. This line here, which comes from Sar Mishnayim, is only according to the Ravid. Okay, and the Chazon Ish says, no, I know the answer. The answer is like this. You think, because that's what David's been telling you this whole time, you think that the problem according to the Ramban is that he's going to touch the wine that's in the press right now, right? There's wine already in there. He says, that's not the Chashash. The Chashash is, if you let him do the stuff, he may touch things tomorrow. If you let him pour it at the places that have wine floating around, tomorrow he may touch wine someplace else. Okay, not that he's going to touch this wine here. And the Yid pouring it tells him, the Yid pouring it with him says to him, guys, you have to be careful. There are rules, so you only have to do certain things. So what David was trying to say. The Yid being here, Yisrael Messiah, is like making sure, guys, remember there are rules over here. You have to follow my rules. And therefore, even according to Ramban, that's his Yashab, what the Mechaber says, even according to Ramban, the Yid being Messiah is helps control the situation, and the guy realizes he's not going to touch things. So if that's true, if this is true, meaning if we say if the Chazon Ish, not like you're a creator, and if we say, then we could potentially say that that's what Shachter meant, that when if there's a Mashgiach standing there, since there's a Mashgiach in the plant, how good for the Mashgiach being there is makes the same kind, instead of the Yid being Messiah, the Yid just being around makes the clear the rules that we have to follow rules, you know, touch things in this net, and maybe that would be enough to stop the issue of the Gemara. Okay?
Is that perhaps a sort of ask?
So we have two better things to say. And that is like this. The first is
where's the pouring for gas?
I'm gonna talk about that in 1 second. Pause. Just wait. I'm gonna talk about it in a second. The first like this. The first problem is like this. This would all be really nice and wonderful if the Mashgiach actually stood there when they poured it in. Okay, so you say the Mashiach standing there and making sure they follow the rules is the same as the Yisrael be Masalev Kacham, like Chazon said in Ramban, we'll say in the Ravid also, a Yid standing there will be enough. Okay, but in truth, the Mashiach doesn't stand there. Okay, the Mashiach is assigned to oversee the whole thing. There's a Mashiach watching everything, keeping an eye on things. The system is built that it's automatically mutter, there's no way it can go wrong, and the Mashiach is just keeping an eye that things stay the way they're supposed to be. So if a truck comes in, he might be there, he might not be there. Okay, Labdach, will he be standing there when the truck comes in? So if it's mutter because the... What do we have to say? So it's hard to say that when the Mashiach doesn't actually stand. If you say, okay, Mashiach, you have to stand there every time a truck comes in, then you can maybe imagine this then teaching people rules, okay? But Mashiach actually doesn't stand there. He may be there, but he may not be. Labdach. Okay? And that whole idea that but Yisrael, being around teaches them rules, only helps in the factory. It doesn't help when the narrow truck dumps into the big truck. The narrow truck dumping into the big truck, no Mashiach ever comes there, except for Rabbi Gala coming to make his videos. Okay? No Mashiach never goes to that place. The Mashiach is in the factory. No Mashiach is ever out there. So you say, because the Yid's around, it impresses upon them that they have to be more careful and they have to follow rules, but the Mashiach don't go out to the field. So it wouldn't explain why you should let dump from the small truck into the big truck. Okay. So we now move to the second reason. Second reason, Rodowski's reason. He said the reason why it's okay is because, is because the whole Isser, people have been mentioning, he's grumbling about this until now. Maybe the whole Isser of the Gemara is only to pour it to the gas. And he says there's no Isser to pour it in something else. So we dump from a narrow truck into a big truck. That's not a gas. When you pour it into the factory, they don't pour it into the gas. So Bezeda, so you didn't do anything wrong. The whole Isser of the Gemara is specifically to pour it into the gas, but not for other things.
Okay. Why isn't that mukhar? Nobody asked to move a barrel around.
To move up, it's the pouring that would be asked. That's the Gemara's asking the pouring. Because pouring is like, you may pour it tomorrow.
Let's say he lost the quarter and then he pours it on the ground at the point. Everybody's going to ask for that.
So, but
it's obvious, it's pouring into the gas, nothing else.
Why do you say that? You said
pouring into the gas.
So, your example didn't prove anything. He said to me, well, would that be asked? Maybe yes, it would be asked.
So, the problem the rabbi's talking about is how he's going to touch wine.
He's going to pour plain wine. But now it's wine mixed with grapes.
But if it's not a gas, that worker has never seen the plain wine, and he'll never see the wine in his career.
Okay, so, but it's really the question, what you're saying, is a deeper question on the right. Nobody pours plain juice into a gas.
That's my question, right?
Nobody pours juice into the gas. The gas only pour grapes. So the chash is not to say is that tomorrow, when Jose comes to work, he's going to pour wine. That's not what's going to happen. But it's going to teach him that I'm allowed to pour things, barrels full of juice, into the other places. It's not that the chash is right. No one ever pour wine into juice into a gas. It doesn't make any sense. It's a press. It doesn't make any sense to pour it into. You only put grapes into there. So it's a general chash. If you teach him this, tomorrow, hopefully, he's about to pour wine. Okay, so it's... Hey, so now. So one question, you could agree or disagree on this one. One question is that maybe this is considered important to the gas. When you pour it in the factory, you're pouring into this tank, which leads to the destemmer, which leads to the gas. So it's questionable. We're basically saying it's only concerned to the gas. So that saves us some of the trucks out in the field. Fine, no problem, no truck. But when you pour it into this thing, basically you're pouring it into the gas. The gas is not the first step that goes to something else, and then to the gas, but it's just one long process. Not so clear that would be
more. You sent your little thing last week with the bottle.
Yeah.
So actually pouring it into a little cavity.
A pour.
Right. That's not the gas.
So you're saying it's similar to that. Okay, well, that whole big thing could be called the gas. You could call that all, you could say that's all the gas. But what I'm saying is, over here, you're not pouring it into the press. It's not at the press yet. But it's at the step that leads its way to the press. Okay, that's a question. You can agree or disagree with that. Okay, but more seriously is, there's a Taz. Okay, there's a really long Taz. I mentioned him a few times. The same Taz. It says like this. The Nir Ali. I told you the Taz tells nafkaminas between the different shitas. I mentioned before it's a nafkamina. He says, Sheesh, hey, nafkamina. Okay, there's another nafkamina between the Ramban and the Raivan. That is, Shemolchav kuchama nafim basam she'en nukuvim. He takes wine in barrels that have no holes in them. The point is, there's going to be juice collected in them. L'kli she'acha she'en gas. What are the important to clear? That's not the gas. Okay, that's how the question we're talking about. So what does he say the din is? L'kama Raivan asr, L'ramban mutter. Okay, Ramban it's mutter. According to Ramban it's mutter because it's not pouring into a kli that has wine in it. Bezeder. According to the right of it, it's usher, because we only care about that he's pouring a barrel that has liquid and solids in it. If that's what he's pouring, I don't care what he pours it into. Okay, so Ravelsky said, I don't think it applies to when it's not the gas. Sure, it seems like the Taz is not like that. I don't know if everybody agrees to that, okay, but now it's sort of like he's on the defense now, which is, the right of it usher it no matter what. Whatever you pour it into, it doesn't have to be dafka into a gas. It's usher in every case. That's a question. So, which back to what we said a few minutes ago is, both of these reasons are a little shaky. We're more salvious, and if we want it to be makel, is I told you the Chazon Ish says we pass on the Ramban. We pass on the Ramban. The whole thing is not a shaila. Okay, the Ramban, the only shaila we see, we pour into place where there was hamshacha, and there's no problem. Reka. So, according to we're safer. Let's say it's more straightforward to say we call it the Chazon Ish and pass on the Ramban. Just bear in mind. I'm going to give you 1 second. Bear in mind. We're talking about something that's Stam Yair, is only Issa Drabbanan, and we're talking about something that Gemara says is only Asa L'Chatchila, not even Asa B'Dieben. So to say that we hold like one sheet of Rishayim, the Chazon Ish says the Pasuk, like, I don't have to feel so bad about that. Okay, I'm thinking the reasons given that I fit you until now, we each had some questions on them. But if you want to say you're not being Choshesh for the Raivit, you're not Choshesh for the Raivit. The Raman says the Chazon Ish is not to be Choshesh for the Raivit. It's only a Chumra L'Chatchila on Issa Drabbanan. Okay, maybe I don't have to feel so bad. Yes.
Even if one
derived,
you said you're saying perhaps you should see the whole factory as one big thing.
That would be a reason to argue what Rebelski said. Rebelski had said, right, but I'm saying, so let's say we ignore that. We say, we follow the Ramban. If we pass like the Ramban, the whole Isser is to pour into a thing where there has to be actual yayin in the thing I'm pouring into. Not gas per se, it has to be yayin in the thing. Did you want to see something?
I didn't see the sequel. But what happens when they pour in that whole big thing, the big truck, the runoff? Does that get processed with the mush?
We spoke about it last week. That was what we're listening. Okay.
You said that once you have runoff.
They do not, right, but in a kosher winery, they would not be one. No, they don't let anything run off of them. They don't want to let hamshach happen.
So that whole big thing, the mush and the liquid now go into a separate
move, they keep on going. Right. They keep on to the destemmer altogether and then to the press.
The whole stuff goes into the destemmer. They don't siphon off the liquid first.
Correct. Okay, now, there's one more thing I was going to talk about it just for a minute, okay? And that is, just to finish up, we're really not going to do the whole thing, just a little bit. And that is, there's one more thing to talk about what happens before Hamshacha. And that is, we spoke about it some time ago, about making wine mevushel. And the question is, could you make wine mevushel before Hamshacha? Okay? So when you first hear the question, to most people say, of course you cannot. Bishel is, you do mevashel the wine. Okay, you mevashel the wine. If it's not wine until the Hamshacha, then how would you bishul before the Hamshacha happened? Okay, so that would be probably most people's Hanacha Rishonah, their assumption.
We're talking about the raisins.
Right, so we spoke about the raisins. I told you I was going to talk about it for the grapes over here. But by the raisins, we've said that you cannot do bishul before Hamshacha. Even if you think, like I'm about to tell you, that you can do it by grapes, you can't do it by raisins. Well, some held, I should take it back. Some held you can't do it by raisins. Rabbi Yashar actually was made about that. But the thing is like this, Rav Moshe says in two places, in two truths, Rav Moshe says, of course you can do bishul before it's Hamshacha. Okay? And there are two truths. One doesn't describe the situation, just says you did bishul before Hamshacha. The other one is very, to me, very clearly describing something that's called, that has two fancy names. One is called thermovinification, okay, and the other one is called flash détente. I probably didn't pronounce that right. Okay, I don't know. Détente, okay, whatever. So or thermovinification, that's the American way of saying it. It's the same idea. And the point is, there are some people who, bedavka, this has nothing to do with bishul, like kosher-wise, they cook the grapes right away before they really squeeze everything out, and that's
right.
Because
get the juice, the grapes.
Correct, because it helps get the color out of that better. Okay, and they do this fancy process. They boil it to very high temperatures, and then they put it into a flash chamber so that it boils off. A whole process that they do. The second Shuvah Moshe, which is in Chen Bez, surely seems to be describing that. If you read what he says, and they're trying to get the color out, and they do this high temperatures, the whole thing he describes sounds very much like this. So the Ramosha says in both these places, Tim, it's Pashut. Of course you could do Bishul before you had Hamshachah. Okay? He doesn't give any Makar that you should do that. Okay, but Rudovsky said the Makar is like this. The Makar is from Rashi in Menachas. Rashi says, I won't tell you yet. The Mishnah says in Menachas, you're not allowed to use Yayin Mevushal to make for Menachas. In the base of Menachas, you're not allowed to use Yayin Mevushal. So Rashi explains to you what Yayin Mevushal is. Okay, it doesn't mean cooked wine. Rashi means like this. Kishayu Anothim Marim, if the grapes came out bitter, then Hayim Ashnoitan, there's two cases in Bishop. You're not allowed to use Mu'ushan or Mavushal. Hayim Ashnoitan Kitayim Maskan, you would smoke them, that somehow that made them sweeter, whatever that means. Or you would cook the grapes to make them sweeter. So whatever that means, I don't know how it makes it sweeter. That's not my problem. But his point was, you see over here that cooking the grapes is considered as if you cook the wine. Okay, that makes the wine usher to use on a Mizbeach if it's cooked. It's considered mavushal wine, even though over here what you did is you mavushal the grapes. Okay? Now, it's not so clear that the rules for there are the same rules for here. We're not going to talk about it. But I will tell you is, it's questions, if it's true over here, it's questions whether the temperature is right, meaning we watch temperature. If you do bishul on the grapes mixed with the liquid, are we really getting a good reading of the temperature? There's lots of questions about that. And I'll just throw in that when we spoke about it by raisins, I saw there an Avni Nazer who specifically says you're not allowed to do bishul on grapes before Hamshacha. It's also partial. He says, of course, it's partial. You're not allowed to do that. Neither of them bring right. Not Ramosha, and not this is Rabosky said Ramosha is right, but Avni Nazer says it's bishul. You're not allowed to do it.
Bishul will help on grapes.
What do you think?
Bishul would help on the juice that kind of came out.
So Rabelsky said the logic here is the juice is already in the grape. So if I was mavashal in the grape form, I was mavashal the grape, I was mavashal the juice.
That's the head.
And the answer is to say it's not juice, it's grapes. It's not juice.
Whatever came out, the juice already got squeezed out.
Not that it already came out. I'm talking about, but now you're going to squeeze it and much more juice is going to come out of it.
And the definition of juice has nothing to do with
Rabelsky. Right. So Rabelsky says, so I mavashal the juice, I'm good. And Abinazer is going to say is, you mavashal a grape, like you mavashal an apple. Does that help you? It doesn't mean anything. You mavashal that wasn't wine yet. How can you do bishul on the thing? It wasn't yet the wine. It wasn't the isser. It wasn't the thing yet. It doesn't exist. It was just a fruit.
Well, that can have to be to put the whole thing together.
That what?
So here, whatever was juice is in there.
No, it's not Amshacha. No, it's not wine yet. What's juice in that?
No,
it's not Amshacha.
It's like manuka, like a clean manuka.
Because
the juice, whatever juice is already cooked. That's already cooked.
Okay, I'm getting confused. But anyhow, but this thing that they do is very lamaisa. This question, can be mavashal of the juice before they do hamshacha, is what they do. And the reason why they love to do this kula is because it makes it foolproof. If you could do bishul before it had hamshacha, means you're doing bishul before it can become usher. So if a guy touches it, it's not usher. So I already protected it before it ever could become usher. I mean, at 10 o'clock, it's going to have hamshacha. And at that point, if the guy touches it, it's usher. At 9 o'clock, I already did the bishul to it. So that means that I protected it. It walked in safe. There's no way it could ever become usher. That's why they love to do that. It's not... What? So what they do is, when it comes after the stemmer, it's still pulp and juice mixed together. They do the bishul right then.
So after all these videos.
Yes, after these, it's still pulp and juice mixed together. So right now it's not, didn't have hamshach yet. They do bishul right now. Now it's mutter. They say now it can become usher. Then they send it to the press where it gets separated. Now it's hamshach. So what they've done is they made a system that's impossible for it to become treif. They made it because the bishul happens before before it can ever, before it's even white. So we're safe. That's the, why they love it. That's what's good about it.
That's only if you're make-o by the porn.
Oh, well, you have to make-o by a lot of things. I'm saying you have to be make-o to say the porn was okay, and you have to say that you're allowed to do kishul before on Shabbos. Right. Ramash says it two times. It's partial that you're allowed to do.
What's the common practice of the Mahashkot?
I just told you. They do this. They sign-o on this kula because it's really convenient. It's really convenient to be sign-o on this.
The problem is also that the Rambam says that the wine is not quality enough once it's cooked.
Okay, so that's what Rashi says in Menachos, right? It's possible in the Sachem. It's possible in the Sachem because it was already cooked. It's not the same. That's okay. So that's the reason to be make a look at that.